O God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Give us the grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Reading from the first book of the Bible, from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Let us listen for a word from the Lord. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's a pleasure to be with you this morning and to be part of Leadership of Worship. It's a different perspective from this angle than from where I usually sit on the far right side of things. It's interesting, when we started, that I thought, we're not going to have many people in church, but you dribble in and gather the crop together. It's kind of fascinating how churches are that way. My first pastorate, we couldn't start till we saw Sam Arthur around the corner, and then we could ring the bell, and then we could start worship. So all of our congregations have different kind of unique features and characteristics. But thank you for this invitation. Be in prayer for Bobby and the other 9 people that are in the Middle East, that they have a safe travel and a good experience, which is what our prayer is for them on this pilgrimage that they're part of. New Testament lesson is from Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, beginning with verse 4. Listen now for God's word. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him, were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it's the weekly gathering of several couples and members of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church following morning worship at a local eatery. Usually the menu is a roasted preacher, depending on what Bobby has preached about or what he said or how he's done stuff, but today is different. For today, there was a baptism in worship that particular morning, and the infant was so cute. The baby seemed to be mesmerized by Bobby as he held him in his arms and baptized this child. The child didn't even squirm when the cold water was doused upon his head. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the child also seemed to thrive on the walk down the center aisle. Everyone agreed it was such a special occasion for this young couple to bring their baby to be baptized, but most of all, the baby was very cute. Now, my story is fictitional, though it would be a hoot if that did happen sometime around this place. The sentiment, though, I think is universal in most of our congregations whenever we have a baptism. We focus on the ritual itself as well as on the recipient. But I don't believe we have a real sense of what that baptism is all about, of what the sacrament of baptism in the church is meant to be. For baptism is a life-changing experience and has implications for all of life and even for eternity. In the church calendar, today is the baptism of the Lord Sunday, the day when we remember and recognize that Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. According to Mark's gospel, it was a pretty dramatic scene there. John the Baptist was baptizing in the River Jordan, and people were coming from far and wide to be baptized. He declared that he wasn't the main event, but that he was the one as a precursor to who was to come, that the one that was to come, John was not even worthy to untie his sandals, and that while John baptized with water, this new one to come would baptize with the Holy Spirit. It's a fascinating time for Jesus to come and to be baptized. It is before his earthly ministry begins. He is not a cute baby. He is a grown adult. And yet he's not taken on his ministry yet in this earth, which is an important thing for us to remember and to realize about baptism and the meaning of it for our lives. So there's several things I want to share with you this morning about baptism and what difference it makes in who we are and whose we are. First of all, it's just interesting to me that Jesus was even baptized. One of the things we believe about baptism is that it washes away your sins. Well, we declare Jesus was sinless. And so the question has to be raised, why is it that Jesus even was baptized? Some people interpret this as a reason for him being baptized was because it demonstrated clearly his full humanity, that he was fully human as well as fully divine. And his baptism illustrates his humanity and the importance of that in our lives and for our life as well. Jesus walked the very same road we walk. Jesus had the very same journey we undertake. For you see that right after this baptism, Jesus immediately was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and for 40 days and nights was tempted. His baptism did not shield him from the vicissitudes and from the problems of life. He faced those temptations. He did not yield to them. He was fully human. I find the humanity of Jesus to be extremely comforting and helpful. We are not worshiping some creature, some God, some distant, remote person who kind of sits back and watches us while we participate in life. No, we worship a God who is Emmanuel, God with us, who is in the middle of life just as we are. A God who fully participated in life in all the portions of life. And his life parallels our lives. And so because he lived with such boldness and fullness of life, we too are invited to do the same thing. Now, one word of caution. Oftentimes when we mess up, oftentimes when we sin or fall short of the glory of God, we have a quick retort to that, oh, I'm just human. The reason I offended you, oh, that's just my humanity. Or the reason I didn't come by and take care of things, oh, I messed up and I'm just a human being. I remind you that Jesus was just human also. So the excuse of us saying we're just human doesn't seem to carry much weight. For his humanity was not an excuse. His humanity was an asset. For in baptism, God in Christ blesses and affirms our humanity, that in spite of our humanity, God has chosen to work through feeble and helpless and sinful people like you and me and this entire congregation. Our humanity is an asset for doing God's will and bringing in God's kingdom. And Jesus illustrates this fact and this reality and this truth. And to me, that is very encouraging and inspiring. Secondly, Jesus, like us, was baptized with water, signifying our cleansing, signifying our being claimed by God. Then as he came up out of the water, he had an epiphany that only he heard, in which God spoke to him and said, "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am pleased." There's no evidence in Scripture that anyone else heard this, that it was a personal and private communication between God the Father and Jesus the Son. What it does declare to us is that now Jesus' identity has been defined. You are my son. Very specific, very personal, not a general, "You all have become my children." It was tailor-made for Christ, for God had declared that Jesus Christ was his son with whom he is pleased. And that, for me, is the very heart of the matter. It's not about a cute baby. It's not about an heirloom baptismal gown that's been passed on from generation to generation. It's not about whether the baby cries or doesn't cry during the service. The heart of the matter is that Jesus, or the one being baptized, has now been identified as a child of God. It means that we have our identity clearly indicated to us by God. As the Shorter Catechism says, we have been engrafted into Christ and are partakers of the benefits of the covenant of grace. We are somebody. We are God's somebody. We are not our own. We've been engrafted into Christ and have our identity defined because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Seems to me that's an incredible relief in our day and time. In our day and time, when people are hunting and searching and wondering who they are, when people spend a whole lifetime trying to define what their purpose in life is, when people wander around and are confused and lost, we in the Christian church have a very incredible gift. We have been defined. We have our identity. We belong to God. We are God's children, grounded on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, who demonstrated and modeled for us what identity means when God said, "You are my son, you are my child." God in our baptism does the very same thing for each one of us. He declares that we belong to God, that we are God's children, that we're not our own. We are God's people. We've been bought with a price. We have been given grace beyond our wildest considerations. Now, you wonder how this cute baby knows about this new identity. Well, the cute baby is clueless about their identity and probably at that stage could care less. But yet in the Presbyterian and Reformed tradition, baptizing infants declares an incredible truth. God comes to us. God takes the initiative. God comes to us before we even know what's going on. Before we even have been able to identify who we are, God comes and says, "You're mine. You belong to me." God is willing to take a chance. God is willing to claim us. God is willing to have us as His own, even before we show our stuff. And God does that because God created us and God loves us, and in God, in our baptism, declares to the world, "This is my child, child of the covenant." That's what happens every time down front there's a baptism and a baby comes forward and is baptized. It's a bold declaration to the parents and to the congregation and to the entire world that this cute baby belongs to God, nobody else. God declares His lordship and His kingdom over this child and says, "You are mine." The other piece about baptism is that through God's claim on our lives and God showing us who we are, then He claims that all of my life belongs to Him. He claims that everything I do and everything I'm about belongs to God, that my purpose in life is to fulfill God's intention and to be about building up the kingdom of God. You see that if Jesus provides the example of baptism, Jesus also provides the model of how one lives out that baptism. Jesus lived for God. Jesus lived for others. Jesus took on the religious establishment. Jesus took on the moral issues of that day. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, "Go sell all you got and then come follow me." You see, if we take our baptism seriously, it demands that I'm always assessing and reviewing my life to see if I'm in line with God and in sync with my Maker. Am I doing everything that I'm called to do as God's child in order to build up God's kingdom? Am I energized about my relationship with God so that I want to share that with other people? Am I willing to take a risk for my Maker? Am I willing to allow everything that God has blessed me with to be used for God's kingdom and God's building? Baptism is often called the entry right into the church. It parallels for us circumcision in the Old Testament that declared who we are and whose we are. It's my hope that our baptism will be taken seriously as members of a congregation, as a marker of who we are, as a declaration of whose we are. The prayer is that we are clear that our identity, at least for me, is not about being a Ryan or being a minister or being a professional church worker. My identity, first and foremost, is that I'm a child of God, called by God to do God's work, blessed by God, and loved by God. For when I do that, when we do that, our lives are changed. Our lives are different. We can't just simply go on living like we've been living if we claim our baptism and realize afresh that we are claimed by God, that Jesus' life, the model that He provided, was one that was not His own, but that He gave for God Almighty and for His kingdom, to the point that He ended up on a cross. That's how seriously He took His baptism. The question is, how seriously do we take ours? How seriously do we, as parents, when we bring a child to be baptized, really know what we're doing when we're saying, "I'm turning this child over to God. It's no longer mine, but I've been entrusted to be a steward of that life to make sure that God's life is a difference in that child's life." And the same for the rest of us, regardless of our age. Am I doing what that baptism declares, living a life like Christ lived, in order to fulfill those baptismal vows that were taken for me? Because God took a chance on us. God came to us and said, "You're mine," even before we knew who we were. And it's that identity that helps us to live our lives, helps us to be faithful Christians, helps us to be what God has called us to be. Baptism is about cute babies, no doubt about it. But it's about a whole lot more. It's about your life. and what you're going to do with your life and how you're going to live it out all the days of your life. Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you and thank you for this gift of baptism, for when you come to us even before we know who we are, and you declare that we are now yours. Help us, O God, to live out that kind of life, that we can reflect the fact that you are our God and we are your children, and in doing that, give you the praise and the glory in everything we do and everything we say and all that we are. In the name of Christ, we pray this day.